Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start up your Wednesday right here on B&E, 9 June, 2 days out to the Mullet Open, 3 days away from the Austin Super Regional. Longhorns hosting South Florida, the Bulls in town. So the Rot Rally is this weekend, the Republic of Texas Rally, so be advised, here come the motorcycles.
Look out, both ways now. Look to the left, look to the right, look to the blind side, because they're going to be all over the place.
Yeah, and kind of like we're talking about the bug spray. I mean, not to call the motorcycles bugs, but you kind of can't, you don't see them.
There's some places that are a little bit of a blind spot.
Blind spot, yeah. It seems like annually we have some fatalities with, you know, pulling out in front of a motorcycle or not seeing it in your blind spot. So be advised, they're on their way this weekend. And, you know, Austin and Central Texas is crowded as ever and getting more crowded by the day. They did not have the Republic of Texas Motorcycle Rally last year, obviously.
You will be out and about.
Yeah, back and bigger and better than ever. Weather looks like it's going to be really good for it, too. So expect a lot of folks out. They'll be at COTA this weekend.
That's a cool place to have it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of room out there, a lot of space for everybody. But that doesn't mean they're not coming downtown.
Yeah. Well, they do the parade and all that stuff through 6th Street. So just know it's coming, and that'll be this weekend here in Central Texas. So a lot going on. Fun weekend in mid-June on tap with a lot of conversations that we are having. We'll get back into these NBA games. Also, Aaron Rodgers officially a holdout. Cowboys minicamp is up and running. No holdouts for the Cowboys. They're all in, full participation, including Dak Prescott. We'll hear from Mike McCarthy on that. Way to the top of the hour, we ask the B&E Fact of the Day question. And I asked the question as Ty Madden named one of the 25 finalists for the Golden Spikes Award, and annually handed out to the nation's top college baseball player. And some people consider it the college baseball Heisman Trophy. And I said, Longhorns, who have ever won the Golden Spikes? And the answer, Buck?
Kieschnick.
Great answer. The answer is zero. No Longhorn has ever won. Well, here's what you got to know. There are two different awards. There's the Golden Spikes Award, which is Golden Spikes.
Spike Owens for him, Spike?
No, Spike didn't win it. Spike was a great player at Texas. So the award was created by USA Baseball, sponsored by Major League Baseball Players Association. So that's this award. There is a second award in college baseball that is called the Dick Houser Award. And that is bestowed to the nation's best college baseball player. It's named after the former Major League Baseball player and manager Dick Houser.
Right.
So two different awards. Brooks Kieschnick won the Dick Houser Trophy twice, 92 and 93, when Brooks was bashing home runs over the right field wall and pitching for the Longhorns. And Scott Bryant, the great Longhorn, 1989, won the Dick Houser. And Taylor Youngman, the great pitcher for Texas, won the Dick Houser. So four times the Longhorn has won that trophy, but never has a Longhorn been honored with the Golden Spikes Award since 1979, or 78, when Bob Horner won the first one. In 89, when Scott Bryant won it, Ben McDonald, the right-hander at LSU, was given the Golden Spikes. And in 92 and 3, when Brooks Kieschnick was winning it, Phil Nevin, playing for Augie Garrido at Cal State Fullerton, was given the Golden Spikes. And then the following year, Wichita State pitcher Darren Dreifert was given the Golden Spikes Award. So no Longhorn has ever won that. Which is surprising. And how about this? You know, in 2011, when Taylor Youngman won the Dick Houser, the current L.A. Dodger pitcher Trevor Bauer was given the Golden Spikes Award. He and his sticky substance on his fingers, which we can get into this morning, the sticky tack conversation in Major League Baseball. So at some point, a Longhorn's going to win that dang Golden Spikes. You got to think, right? I mean, that seems ridiculous that the Longhorns have not had one. And I always like to say, Buck, Phil Nevin, who won it in 1992, that was the year that the Houston Astros owned the number one pick in the draft, and they had one lone scout, their West Coast or their Midwest scout, who actually quit because he wanted them to draft a player named Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter, they didn't. They drafted Phil Nevin out of Cal State Fullerton, and the rest is history.
Yeah, the rest is history. Derek Jeter went to the right squad, and my God, he would have languished in Houston forever and ever.
He actually would have played with Craig Biggio and Jeff Bagwell. It would have been a pretty damn good team.
He's been another dude hanging out in Houston.
Well, then if that's the case, he's not at all. I mean, New York made Derek Jeter, is that what you're saying?
Well, it's The Yankees. No, it's the Yankees that made Derek Jeter, not New York. It's
Derek Jeter was going to be a Hall of Fame player wherever he went. I mean, that's pretty
fair.
You think
so?
I do think so, yes.
I thought it was the Yankee magic that did this for Jeter, not Jeter himself.
Helped with his level of fame, yes.
Yeah.
But obviously, if you're an Astro fan and you could have had cornerstone players, Jeff Bagwell in a trade, you drafted Craig Biggio, both are in the Hall of Fame, and then had you listened to the one scout and drafted Jeter.
Ooh.
By the way, there's a new
hell of a lot, that was a hell of a team right there.
Oh, now. For infield. Years. And they were a hell of a team anyhow. They were they and the Braves were, you know, nationally rivals that entire decade, all the way into the 2000s. And, of course, Jeter and the Yankees were dominating all of baseball for that long stretch.
The Yankees aren't dominating anything. They're headed towards last place the way they're going right now. Like 2-8 or whatever the hell they are. They stink out loud.
Yeah, they do. Hate to see it. Hate to see it. Got to tell you, I hate to see it.
No, yeah, I'm sure you do. Thank you, Garrett.
By the way, Garrett,
thanks for giving us Garrett Cole. That's,
you know, because
we're ruining him.
Well, no, he's been all right. But we'll have to play his audio this hour of when he was asked yesterday, has he ever put sticky tack on a ball? Used sticky tack to get a better grip of a baseball, which is illegal. It's cheating. But his non-answer was pretty revealing, I think, and will lead to a conversation. All right, that's your fact of the day. Let's get to your headlines, trending topics, including a breaking news story from college baseball. UBO Business Services brings you that news, and yeah, it starts with news overnight from college baseball. Texas A&M, according to multiple reports, has agreed to terms and will hire TCU's Jim Schlossnagel as their next head baseball coach. He'll replace Rob Childress, who did not have his contract renewed following the 2021 campaign. 50-year-old Schlossnagel spent 18 seasons in Fort Worth and built them into a college baseball power. 3 Big 12 regular season titles, including this year they shared a co-title with Texas, also won the Big 12 tournament title. His Frogs made 15 trips to the NCAA tournament, 7 super regional appearances, and 5 trips to the College World Series, including 4 straight from 2014 through 2017. Now he's headed to Aggieland. Texas baseball, Longhorns, of course, setting up for the Austin Super Regional this weekend. Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Sunday night, 8 o'clock. Monday afternoon or evening, if necessary. Of course, you can hear all those games right here on the Horn. Major League Baseball last night, Carlos Correa, Yordan Alvarez homered to back a strong start from Framber Valdez. Astros end Boston's 5-game win streak in the opener of a 3-game set at Fenway Park, 7-1 the final. Rangers got dropped at home as the San Francisco Giants came in and beat them 9-4. Del Diamond Express wrapped up their homestand with an 11-0 loss to El Paso. They split the 6 games there with El Paso. NBA playoffs last night. How about Donovan Mitchell, top-seeded Utah Jazz, down 13 at the half to the LA Clippers at home. They rally in the second half and win the game, 109-102. Mitchell scored 32 of his 45 in the second half to lead the comeback. They take game one. Philadelphia, 76ers, even their Eastern Conference semifinal series with Atlanta, a game each, 118-102. Joel Embiid, 40. He's the first Sixer player to post a 40-point or more game in the playoffs since Allen Iverson. He did that pretty routinely, if memory serves. Also yesterday, Denver Nuggets big man Nikola Jokic named the NBA's most valuable player for this season, over 26 points a game, over almost 11 rebounds, and 8.5 assists a game while leading the Nuggets to that 3 seed in the West. He's the first Denver player ever to win that award, lowest drafted player ever to win the league MVP. He was the 41st pick in the draft of 2014.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
So like a very clever person on the text line says, hey, if they had drafted Jeter, they could have been the killer BJs.
Ha. Ha, 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 ha.
I like it. Come on, man.
Good stuff.
Yeah, Killer Bees and Jay. By the way, there's a documentary coming out on Derek Jeter. Do you know that? The Captain? Like a kind of Michael Jordan-ish, Mike Tyson kind of deal.
Should be very interesting.
On Derek Jeter. Yeah, so that's coming out. And before we get to our coach's corner and hear from Mike McCarthy, can we hear the Garrett Cole audio? Garrett Cole, former Astro, now Yankee ace, asked, because there's a big debate in baseball now about players using foreign substances on the baseball, which is allowing for a higher spin rate, which is leading to a lot of these strikeouts and a league-wide batting average of about .236. I think the hitting, you know, the way they coach hitting is playing into this as well with the launch angle discussion we've had many times. But Garrett Cole asked point blank, have you ever used sticky tack, which is one of the popular substances that can be used? Here was Garrett Cole.
And have you ever used spider tack while pitching? I don't. I don't know. I don't know if. I don't know quite. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. I mean, there are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players, and you know, I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard, and I've stood pretty firm in terms of that, in terms of the communication between our peers and whatnot. You know, and I, again, like I mentioned earlier, there's, you know, this is important to a lot of people that love the game, and this is including the players in this room, including fans, including, you know, teams. And so if MLB wants to, you know, legislate some more stuff, that's a conversation that we can have, because ultimately we should all be pulling in the same direction.
God, that sounds like a guy eating an egg sandwich. What the hell did he say?
I mean, he asked a yes or no questions, and that's what you got. So clearly,
here's an egg sandwich for you. Have this while you're just
sitting
there talking to me.
Well, look, it's the new debate in baseball, right? Steroids, and then of course Astros and other teams with the communication from the dugout looking to get an advantage. Look, pitchers have put a rubbed, even the, you know, they rub mud on the baseballs to rub them down and get them ready. But the baseball is slippery to begin with. If you've ever felt the Major League Baseball. And forever, baseball players and pitchers have tried to find a way to grip the ball better. You know, whether it's just licking your fingers.
So very simply, yes, I've done that before.
And they all have, and you can't legislate it. Now, you can legislate putting, like, stick'em on a baseball glove. I mean, and you can watch for the next, you know, beginning immediately. We saw it with, you know, just, what, with Trevor Bauer, or who, no, the Cincinnati Reds pitcher recently. They confiscated his hat. But, look, you can't tell players they can't wear sunscreen. And all you have to do is load up your arms with sunscreen when you go out to pitch and rub your hand, rub your arm, and it's going to get sticky on your fingers. Now, obviously, night games would be different with that, but I mean, you can't legislate that. But yes, you can legislate the real foreign substance, but that's been a part of baseball forever. But that's the latest. I just wanted you to hear your guy, Garrett Cole, stammering and stumbling and not sure what to say.
Eating his sandwich while he talks to the guy.
Could have just said no.
Yeah, or just said, yeah, I have before. And I will next game when I start. I'll probably have a little sticky on there.
It's actually
then.
Called spider tack. My bad. That's just a rosin.
That's just all.
A rosin. Well, I mean, forever going to ball games, right? They have a rosin bag. I mean, you can step off the mound and grab the rosin bag. You can't, and that just it's just a little
sure.
And forever hitters are okay with it because they want the pitcher to have as much control as possible. But now the spin rate, these curve balls, all that goes into it is leading to this conversation. So the latest controversy in Major League Baseball. 7:15 on a Wednesday. Let's dive into our Coach's Corner brought to you by AV Consultations and our buddy Tom McKay and the crew at Audiovisual Consultations online at avconsultations.com. All of your audiovisual needs, 30 years here in Austin, Texas. So Mike McCarthy, Buck. Had a press conference yesterday. The Cowboys opened up their mandatory minicamp, full participation. And so he was asked, first off, with the differences between the OTAs and the minicamp. Minicamps are not mandatory, and they get to work in what gets ramped up when you get to from the OTAs to the minicamp.
Well, the flow of everything is very similar. We'll spend more time in the meetings because, you know, based on this is a mandatory minicamp. So we have the ability to work longer than the OTA guidelines. So, but as far as the morning schedule and everything leading up to practice and even the practices will be very similar. I think I spoke on this last week. Our goal is to get the first eight installations in. We'll be working that this week, and we'll accomplish that. But I want the flow to stay as close as possible. But, you know, this is our final week with our players, so. We're just taking the approach that we want to get as much done as we possibly can and make sure we're set up for, you know, the virtual component if they need it the next 5 weeks because, you know, when we get to training camp, we want to hit it running.
Yeah, this isn't grab-ass time. This is work time for them. This isn't the all shucks, you know, hey, where you been? How you been doing? Good to see you back again. This is it's time to go. This is go time before you go home. And then to get this installation in, they don't expect you to come back once you go away for 5 weeks now and come back and forget everything that they've done over the last couple of days. It's about remembering, sticking this in your head so that you can carry it out through the summer. This is what we intend to do. These are our installations. It's not like those, you know, those quickies where you come in here for a weekend and say goodbye. They're working.
It's all week. It's all week, all day.
Yeah, you're working.
And mandatory, obviously, not for Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be fined in Green Bay because he's not there.
Well, it all depends. He'll really get fined once he comes back to training camp. Training camp will fine.
Well, he's
and
not.
That's because and the CBA will start to fine him and say the collective bargaining agreement is if you don't have a reason why you can't be there, if you're in arguments with your owner, your team, or whatever, that's not an excuse. You have to be here. It's going to cost you $50,000 a day that you miss. I think I'm right. Not $5,000.
Well, and there's also language in everybody's contract that they've agreed to. That is always that's where the fines will come for him from these mandatory mini camps.
And that's what's funny about the NFL. I never hear about those guys, that stuff ever really being carried out. I never hear about a guy that doesn't go, that's a quarterback, a big time quarterback, that says, yeah, and they just took $6 million from me.
In this case, Aaron Rodgers different, but it's usually built around you want a new contract, right? You're not happy, you're a holdout. Zeke Elliott, right?
Right.
Hanging out in Cabo. And, you know, I don't know the exact contract language, but, you know, we'll write into your contract. We'll just write off these fines here. They'll be part of the deal. We'll take it out of you. Prorate it. You're out.
Yeah, they're not just fines. They're millions of dollars. Yeah, $50,000 a day.
But everything for Aaron Rodgers up to now was not finable. This is now finable for him in Green Bay. Cowboys, by the way, a couple other things. Experimented. Remember their first pick of the first round for them, Micah Parsons out of Penn State. According to Calvin Watkins of the Morning News, they were using him at defensive end a little bit in this minicamp.
I can see that.
That they know he's probably not ready to be an NFL linebacker. He just hadn't had enough experience. But, boy, he's a quick-twitch athlete. And I think, and Jerry Jones said this on draft night, that they want to use him as a pressure player early and use his athleticism to get on the field. Because, Buck, if you're going to have a bad secondary, which the Cowboys, I think, are going to have, they hope it's improved. It's still not going to be great. Can you get pressure on a quarterback? You know, can you get Leighton Vander Esch back healthy? Jalen Smith now wearing number 9. You know, a little more sturdy on the D-line. Can you stuff the run, get some teams into some passing situations? And you got to put pressure on the quarterback. Two guys that stand out with that, actually three, DeMarcus Lawrence has to have a better year.
Right.
Micah Parsons, the first pick, is going to be used. And then, boy, a great story with Randy Gregory. You know, Randy Gregory, who's now 28 years old, he had a long meeting with the media yesterday, and by all accounts, it feels like that he's through his substance abuse and his alcohol issues
has
come out
the
other side. And I know you've battled that in your life. And, boy, that story is interesting. It's a great story because he says, you know, here's what his quote. He said, I don't want to go all deep on you guys, but I think it's a certain level of self-love, just understanding. So there was a time in my life when you could ask me to say one good thing about myself and I couldn't. I could say 20 bad things. I've come a long way from that. I can say a lot of good things about myself now. I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of where I am, and I'm proud of this journey. I look, and a lot of guys don't make it as far as I have. So, you know, we'll see. You never know. But
soul searching right there, pretty good.
That's good stuff. And if he does, I mean, there's never been a doubt when he was a second-round pick out of Nebraska for the Cowboys that his only issue was, you know, behavior and substance abuse. And if he's gotten that under control at 28 – he can still be a factor for the Cowboys as a pressure player. There's no doubt about that. We saw it again last year.
Yeah, I want the Penn State guy. I want him to get to learning this defense a little bit better because I need to have him inside. I need him have him going against running backs with the kind of speed that he has where guys have to step over.
Micah?
Yeah, I want him because he destroys them. He did in college. He went right through them. He'd do the same thing in the pros. But if he's not ready for that out there, I know he's quick twitch, but if he's out there trying to get around some of those big tackles – and they get their hands on his ass and just whip him all over
town. That's
going
to be
interesting
how they try to be creative with Michael.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you put him in as a defensive end, which they were working with him.
I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Against the best tackles in the NFL. But you know, can be creative and use him as a linebacker who's a pressure player as a linebacker.
Stun him back inside and do some things with him there, yes.
Because he is, he's, 4'3"?
Yeah, and if you make a mistake as 55. A guard and you're not squared up to him, he's going to go right by you, too.
And if you watch his tape at Penn State, he's got elite. He's just got... He understands angles. He understands how to shoot the gap and get to that quarterback. And then
he's going
to
run your quarterback down.
Sure tackler once he gets there.
Yeah.
All right, so that's early on the Cowboys. How about Mike McCarthy on Zeke Elliott? We said yesterday that Zeke's been getting a lot of good reviews for what his work here in this offseason, trying to come off a pretty rough season for him. A lot of fumbles last year for Zeke. This looked like he lacked focus and wasn't really into it once the offensive line got hurt and then Dak Prescott got hurt. Here's Mike McCarthy yesterday talking about his number one running back.
I think Zeke looks great. I mean, he's been here pretty much the whole time. He goes to the early morning quarterback meetings, so he's You know, he's a pro's pro. I've been impressed with Zeke since day one. You know, he sits in the front row, asks good questions. He knows the offense in and out. He's definitely, one of the leaders, especially the leader of the running back group, and helps the young guys. I mean, he does everything you look for in a veteran. So I think he's had an outstanding offseason program.
All the coaches are about sitting in the front row.
I guess you should tell your running backs.
Dude, do not sit back there and lean against the wall because they think that you're not interested. And most of the times when you're back there, you're not interested. But when you sit in the front row, your head can't nod. You can't be bobbling and doing all that stuff. You have to pay attention, and you should pay attention. That's good to hear. It's good to hear that all the Cowboys are there.
Yeah, now, they've had no.
It's almost like what I want to do is find out if that dude can coach them.
I think that's fair.
That's my deal. It looks like they have all the players in the right spots. If this offensive line is good, if they get, they're going to be better on defense because they can't get worse. There's no way
that's true.
That group can get worse on defense. And now, if Mike McCarthy, can he coach? Can he still coach at this level?
Yeah, and
he made some dumb
change.
Coaches stuff yet last
well,
year.
Well, that was, I mean, it was Ed Too Tall Jones who we're talking to out at the NFL Alumni Golf Tournament recently that said it. You know, you can look sharp and good losing through right. a bunch of injuries. You can still look like a sharp, well-coached football team.
Right.
You know, when your whole offensive line is banged up and you've got your quarterback out, the Cowboys just look like a mess. They were a clown show for a lot of the season last year.
That's why they're all showing up, and that's good.
Yeah, and they need to make amends for that. We will see in that NFC East. With, by the way, at their minicamp in Washington, Chase Young, Washington football team, declared that he thinks the Washington team is going to be the best defense in the National Football League. They plan to be the net.
They'll be second behind Tampa.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back when we do more on the Cowboys minicamp, Longhorns, and the Austin Super Regional. And, if you want to weigh in on Garrett Cole's lack of an answer to the spider tack question, we can continue that. It's a fun Wednesday. Isaiah Collier has our Hot or Not topics for the end of the hour. B&E with you, live, local, and digital, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Glad you're with us on a Wednesday. Hot or not topics of the morning before the top of the hour. Isaiah Collier will walk us through that. He who holds a grudge greater than anyone we know. Isaiah Collier, TMZ.
Awesome. A lot better than I
don't
do.
Don't cross Zay, I'm telling you. You'll never get out of his doghouse. All right, so talking some Cowboys. By the way, we mentioned Mike McCarthy. He did also in his press conference, they say he expects Dak Prescott to be a full go for training camp 5 weeks from now when they return. And he looked good yesterday. He looks like he's just moving around really, really well. But as you say, wait till he gets some people around his feet. And you know,
it's a different world when it's live and guys are falling by your ankles and by that leg.
And that was just such a fluky play as he's running to his left and the guy, pulls him down. And he gets his foot underneath him. But
hate that tackle.
I do too. The horse collar kind of thing. But also, John Fossil, Bones Fossil there. Special teams coordinator will not participate in the minicamp this week. He's back with his family. Of course, Jim Fossil passing away early yesterday.
Sounds like he died of a heart attack.
Yeah, well, it's only 71. I mean, he wasn't ill of any kind. But,
no, he had chest pains, and they took him to the hospital, and then
terrible.
That's where it happened, at the hospital.
Well, they still believe heart disease is the number one killer of people in this country.
That's what Doc told us.
Number one killer.
Heart disease.
Get that ticker checked.
Yes.
They can analyze a lot of things. Who was I talking to the other day? Oh, guy who played golf with out at Dunyan Creek, had a heart attack when he was 44 years old. Didn't even know. He's fit as a fiddle. Guy looks great. Mm-hmm. But apparently his father had three heart attacks, and it was just
if you got it in your family, you definitely should go check it.
Absolutely. When in doubt, check it out. Hey, speaking of check it out, big piece of news for Texas football. You know, we've told you the month of June is open season now on recruiting again, dead period over, and players can come to campus. Talk about players that can change your recruiting and can change your status here. This is a big one. According to Jason Sukumel over at orangebloods.com, he says that five-star defensive tackle Bear Alexander is planned that will be in town today.
Love that name.
No, how about the name? Well, and remember one of the things Steve Sarkisian said after going into the spring, that they need to get bigger on defense. Bear Alexander is 6'4", 320. He is from Fort Worth, Texas, Brewer High School in Fort Worth. He's a five-star prospect, nation's ninth-ranked prospect overall. He had been committed to Georgia, but earlier this week decommitted from Kirby Smart, had a visit to A&M, this past week weekend, and now it's going to be here in Austin this week. That's a big one, obviously. And he's opened his recruitment, kind of feels like he wants to stay closer to home. So we'll see. I know the Aggies are pretty confident in that with Jimbo Fisher, but that's the kind of guy you talk about, Buck. 6'4", 320, interior defensive lineman that's just...
Stuff it up, push you around.
The war daddy types. And these are the ones you saw... These are the ones you see Nick Saban's got them in bunches at Alabama, right? That guy at the point of attack. And Texas has Keandre Coburn currently.
Every time you say that, I think of Alfred Collins. And the minute you say war daddy, the word war daddy, well, that guy just comes into my mind.
Yeah, he should be.
Just like, bang, there it is. He's here. He's right here right now.
And I think, having watched some film on Bear Alexander, his real name is Keithian, but
I
call him Bear.
Yeah.
That's 6'4", 320 at 17. I'll call him whatever he wants. But that's a big boy. But he has got a 5-star rating by all the services, and that's one of those – that's what Texas – if you're going to move forward, then you're going to go from – you know, and grow this program into what Steve Sarkisian says he wants it to be. That's the kind of player that you get there with.
Yeah.
Offensive and defensive line.
Turned down Georgia, and he wants to be close to home. It's close to home. They're right down the road there.
Fort Worth, Texas.
Podna.
And Fort Worth is the center of the top story in the college baseball landscape. With the word this morning that Jim Schlossnagel is leaving TCU, you know, after they lost in the Big 12 in their regional this weekend, he was asked point blank, "Are you interested in the A&M job?" And he point blank said, "No, I am not planning to go anywhere. Not interested in any other job." And here we are on a Wednesday morning with word that he has accepted a deal at Texas A&M and will become the new head baseball coach there. Which it's a great get. It's a great get for Texas A&M, for sure. I mean, he's built that program over 18 seasons into quite a juggernaut there. So we're talking Cowboys and Longhorns and everything in between. Yeah. NBA playoff basketball last night.
Yeah, in the NBA last night, Zay, I wanted to ask you this. Ben Simmons, you know, I watched the game last night, and you know, and I'm talking about offense, defensive players. He's quite a defensive player. He is so long and tall and. You know, the little guy from Atlanta couldn't get around him last night. Kept blocking his shot, kept slapping it back in his face every time he took a jumper. I know the jump shot's missing. I know the what we all like to see is the three-point shooter, and we all talk about him. Well, he can't score, he can't do this. But, man, for a big guy, can he get around as a defender? His arms are so long. What's missing in his game? He's a junkyard guard because he gets a lot of rebound putbacks, and that's how he scores his point because he's not going to be a three-point shooter. Hell, he's not even a 15-foot range guy when I look at him. He doesn't take that. He doesn't shoot a lot. Is it that he doesn't shoot enough or he can't shoot?
It's weird with him because when he was in high school and college, the shot looked very promising. It did. And I don't know if it's a psychological thing or a confidence thing, but since he's gotten into the league, you know, he's been ridiculed on his jumper.
Didn't he have that weird thing where he hadn't shot a three-point shot in like – a half a year or some weird number where he just didn't let it fly or he was afraid to let it fly? I mean,
yeah.
Is that a mental deal with him that he can't be a 15-foot, as tall as he is, jump over everybody and shoot? Because he gets, as I said, he gets a lot of – he's like a junkyard player. He gets paid too much to be a junkyard player, right?
Yeah, and that's why everybody's kind of distraught with him because for the number one pick, he hasn't really lived up to the hype, and that all comes with shooting.
He's not an all-star?
Oh, he's an all-star, but he should be. He was compared to LeBron James coming out of the
Yeah, with just his body and his ability to pass and as you're talking about, he's got a different level skill set for a big man like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, this is the NBA in 2021. You can't play in a playoff game, play 35 minutes and score 4 points. Three shots. He took three shots last night. Yeah, he's a facilitator.
I still get that.
No, that's not this style of basketball. It's about skill and skill. The number one skill in basketball right now is shooting the basketball.
But he took the little guy and made sure that he didn't do anything. He played him. He D'd
him.
Great.
He's a first-team all-defensive player. And then it's not like he doesn't have any qualities, but as a guard, a starting guard in this league, shooting is the number one requirement at this point if you're going to play the highest level.
Once again, as I said, defense is maybe underrated.
Sure.
For a guy like that who can shut your guy down.
And that's why Kawhi Leonard is among the best handful of players in the league because he plays great defense and he can score.
That son of a gun can score at all.
Oh, absolutely. But he came into the league as a guy that couldn't score and couldn't shoot very well. He was a one-dimensional player. Greg Popovich and the Spurs, he went to work on that jump shot, and now, gosh, case in point, game 6 of the series with the Mavericks, dude was incredible with the ball on a string and just knocking down threes and taking over that game.
Ben Simmons didn't learn that in AAU basketball. to be.
He's got to learn how to shoot. He's been in the league now, quite a while and still not know. And by the way, speaking of the NBA playoffs, Zay and Buck, interesting. You know, we've talked a lot about the Mavericks and, you know, their inability to close out that series. The, you know, the Kristaps Porzingis discussion's been had. Is it Rick Carlisle? How about this? Mac Engel, who's a columnist for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, wrote a story this morning, headlined, "The Dallas Mavericks' solve is to get Luka Doncic to stop hogging the ball," in which he goes into how the ball doesn't move, that the Mavericks were 26th. And yes, Luka Doncic will hand out 10, 12 assists tonight, but the team doesn't move the basketball. He dominates the ball for 80, 85% of the possessions and possession. And then they were 26th in assists and dead last in the playoffs in assists as a team. Is Luka's ball hogging, as Mac Engel says, a problem, or is that made up?
I see it at times. Like, he has a lot more James Harden in him than Dallas fans would like.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you put a good personnel around him, then he would have people to pass the rock to.
True. True. And you talked about it yesterday, Buck, with the Brooklyn team where they've got three Hall of Famers and they share the ball. The ball moves. The ball doesn't stop. And that's the one thing I would say about Luka, whether he's dribbling it or holding it, he's a ball stopper. You know, you want to see that ball move around. And that's when you watch Brooklyn play in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee's a very good defensive team. I mean, they can't cover everybody. They spread that floor, and the ball's moving, and all of a sudden guys are getting wide-open looks.
Yeah, it's the will to be selfless, and that's what they are right now. And that's hard. I think that's hard for people to believe, that when you brought all three of those guys together, somebody's going to be a pain in the ass. Well, at kind of most of the given time during the course of the year, they never really played together. So they all were had their individual deals that they got a chance to do, and it was fun for them. But now that they've gotten together, they're a selfless group that passes, and they know they can win a championship by getting the ball around because they shoot so well. You know, they're just shooters. They're shooters, and, you know, Kyrie can get the ball to anybody he wants to get the ball to. And as I said, you know, Kevin Durant can get 50 if he wants to, but he doesn't. What does he need to? He's looking at it saying, what do I need to do that? I need to get everybody else involved. And Zay, the other tall kid that, you know, with the dreads, is now a part of this. Now he's a defender. Now he can get in there, and he's not going to score any points, but now they got that other guy that they need, and they have Harris. That's a tough group to handle, period. They just are now.
Yeah, and one thing about...
And nobody's mad at anybody.
No. And one thing about Claxton, which is promising for somebody like Jericho Sims,
yes,
you know, all he's doing is playing defense on a really good team. And if you play defense on a really good team and play with good offensive players, they will find you. So,
yeah, it's like having Dennis Rodman. That's what he's turning into. That he's going to be a pain in the ass. Just he knows his role.
You have three Hall of Fame offensive players, and
right.
You don't need to worry about scoring points, but
no.
Do the dirty work for sure. Be interesting to see what the Mavericks do. It's an interesting article about ball hogging Luka. Is it a chicken and egg deal, right? If he had better players around him, would the ball move more? And some suggesting that you know, what they need is a veteran point guard to put the ball in his hands more, let Luka play off of that. I don't know. We'll see where they go in that spot. All right, it's a lot out there. We'll get into this big development yesterday in college football, that there's a meeting coming up in Chicago in July, Buck. You know, the couple days after we're at the Big 12 Media Days in Arlington. We'll be up there middle July, right after Wednesday and Thursday after the baseball All-Star game. We will be at Jerry Jones Stadium, Cowboys Stadium, for the Big 12 football Media Days, 2 days. But then a couple days later, that weekend in Chicago, on the 17th and 18th, a four-member working group of college football high-level folks are going to come together to try to find a way to and start diving into the idea of an expanded college football playoff. And according to multiple reports yesterday, the working plan is for 12 teams. 12 teams in a college football playoff. Obviously, none of this would happen this year or next, but
23.
Start working towards a potential 12-team college playoff. And I know for a lot of folks, you know, 6 or 8 is the right number, but their working plan is for 12, and that the top 4, as it currently is, would have the week off. So those 4 get rewarded. That puts 8 extra in to play kind of into the Final 4, play into the Final 8, and that's going to happen in July 17th and 18th. The group's going to gather in Chicago to begin the process of actually putting, you know, pen to paper, and let's see where this thing can go. So we'll get you the latest on that. That's a big development in college football. Not surprising, though. We've talked about it a lot. But the 12-team model leads the way, according to Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports. We want your thoughts on that. Coming back, Isaiah Collier walks us through the hot or not topics of a Wednesday, things we've missed halfway through the program. Also talking college baseball with the big development from Texas A&M last night. And we will do the rest of it. It's a B&E busy Wednesday on 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
The Horns text line is brought to you by Specs. Specs wine, spirits, and finer foods. You're on the way. Less to pay. Everyday store. Cheers to savings. What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot not on a Wednesday, B&E with you. Not hot, how about, looks like Chris Harrison officially done with the Bachelor Nation, Zay. Zay Collier, big Bachelor fan, he and his fiance love watching The Bachelor. Chris Harrison, who was put on hiatus at the end of last year. Remember, Manuel Acho had to come in and finish it out?
Mm-hmm.
Now Chris Harrison's out, officially leaving the Bachelor franchise. Been the host since 2002, and has helped grow it into the whatever it is. Very popular franchise. I wonder if Manuel Acho will be in line for to be the permanent host. I don't know.
I think Manny's got a bunch of different stuff going on right now.
He's a busy dude.
Yeah.
It's a busy dude, but Chris Harrison out at the Bachelors. Are you hot on that? Not hot on that.
It depends on who's going to replace him. But it's time for Chris to go.
Okay. Okay. Zay's the expert in the field. I am not.
Yeah, I mean, what is it, 15 years for him, too? That word 15 years comes up. I'll tell you, that number, when you get to 15, it's like, time to go. Time for somebody else to come in there.
Hey, you know, the time, you know, they've got a time to turn the page. That's that's what Matthew McConaughey, we talked to him once, told us that Daryl Royal taught him that, you know, in life, sometimes you just got to turn the page.
Yeah, you do.
You got to turn the page. Move, new chapter. Move on.
Absolutely.
Find another story to talk about. And
that's what Kim Mulkey did.
She's move moving. On. Find another story.
Damn right.
She's moving on.
What's up, LSU?
Cheat like
that's what
mad.
Jim Schlossnagel is doing. 18 years at TCU.
Yeah.
Now he's off to Texas A&M.
You know, it's another adventure. Yeah. Another adventure there.
Isaiah Collier, what do you have that's hot and not on this Wednesday morning?
Good looking out, fellas. So, in the NBA, there's a minor problem, and it involves Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Uh-oh.
And the Greek Freak takes a little long on his free throw attempts. Where in the NBA, you're only given, well, supposed to be given, 10 seconds before you shoot. The Greek Freak usually takes around 11, maybe 12, depending on the shot or the situation, I guess, which is bogus. You should have the same routine every time. But the NBA, the Nets, are very disgruntled about it, where they complained. And in the last few games at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, they put on their Jumbotron a clock.
I love it.
A clock every time Giannis goes to the free throw line.
Slick.
And after it hits 10, it goes red, and Giannis hit it a few times. The NBA told them to cut it out. But the rule is, if it's 10 seconds, it's a lane violation. That's a penalty. You hot or not on this?
Dude, they're going to go the long part of 10 seconds. They're not going to do that to that dude.
I think they should have, the audio recording. One Mississippi, two Mississippi,
wow,
three Mississippi. Wouldn't that be great?
It doesn't sound like arena? He needs much because he doesn't shoot great free throws, right?
No, he's not a great free throw shooter. He's not a great shooter at all at any level. Mid-range, three free throws. He's good at the cup. That's about it. But, yeah, I'd do the one Mississippi. What's that movie? What's that audio from? One Mississippi.
Oh,
that's Major League. No, Bull Durham.
Bull Durham.
Bull Durham. One Mississippi. You know, that reminds me, just get up there and shoot the free throw.
You're going to miss it anyway.
Big controversy out at the Onion Creek this weekend because we had all the rain and they were doing the big tournament this weekend.
Sure.
And so because it got washed out on Thursday, we played in an event, Buck, on Friday that was sixums, right? You and your partner, six people per group, and we're playing a scramble. And there was one group that took 7.5 hours to play that round because there were two guys in the group that were like, Giannis or Sergio back in the day.
Were they plumb bobbing?
One Mississippi.
Were they plumb bobbing along the way?
Every shot, every putt. And a friend of ours who listens to this show, who played baseball at Texas back in the day, he was saying, man, it was all I could do not to start.
Were they any good?
No. Jeez, no, they weren't.
Make it even worse.
And how about this? Another hot or not, Zay. These were two dudes wearing matching outfits for the tournament.
Oh, they called each other.
Oh, they planned this pre. This was not just a morning phone call.
What the hell's going on out here?
Can't do that.
Dude, if you're even close, if you're with the Texas Cheaters and you're close to wearing the same as one of the other dudes, you get ridiculed like nobody's ever.
No.
Did you guys call each other up last night when you were out? Or maybe when you were both playing leapfrog last night, did you decide that maybe you and guys were dressed alike?
Listen, the minute you make the Ryder Cup team, you can then wear matching uniforms. But if it's you and a dude in the tournament, you can't wear the white pants, blue shirts bit.
I've already heard enough of Mr. Hole-in-One, Steve McCollum, talk about how they've already called on him for Ryder Cup play.
Oh, no.
It's already coming. It's like, it's so, like, it makes you want to throw up. It's like, you've had a hold in one. You're not making the Ryder Cup, and they're not calling you up. Don't tell me you're a little bit late getting to the tee box because they called you from the PGA about playing in the Ryder Cup.
It says Biff and Stiff. Well, somebody said 7.5 hours. Yeah, no, I mean, ours was about 6.5 hours. It was car path only, too, because the course was really
wet.
No.
Something happened to my knee, and I couldn't make that tournament. I'm not playing 7.5.
It was a test of patience.
No.
Test of patience. This says Biff and Stiff. That's good. And how about my other buddy out there who we played as a practice round on Wednesday ahead of the event, and he hits a hole-in-one on number eight original Onion Creek. And if he had done it the next day, he would have won a truck or something.
Nice.
Dang it.
Nice. Sorry about that.
Nice shot, though. Hey, we come back. We roll on. It's big news out of college baseball. We'll check in with our buddy Dustin McComas on the move of Jim Schlossnagel to Texas A&M. And what is TCU going to do to respond? Also preview the Austin Regional and the regionals in general. Sweet 16 of college baseball is here. NBA playoffs last night. We've got a lot going on. It's B&E with you. Live, local, and digital. Always streaming on your Horn app and at hornfm.com.